the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The highest point of our year, the most important day of our lives, this triduum, as it were, one long liturgy made up in 3 days, but one long participation in the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as always, as I remind you, during the Holy Sacrifice, especially the High Feast, we are sacramentally present to those moments, which is why the Church has us begin after the sun goes down, begin at nightfall. We, unlike Mary Magdalene and Mary of Clopas and the disciples themselves, we know what's going to happen. We know our Lord is going to break out of the tomb, break the bonds of sin and death. And so therefore we wait outside the tomb for our resurrected Lord to come out. To see him victorious, to participate in it, is exactly what this Supreme Liturgy is all about. And so we should be mindful of that. But perhaps some of the difficulty we have is not really understanding the dynamics of this. After all, the Protestant heretics will say we shouldn't even acknowledge Good Friday, although some are coming around to that. We should only consider Easter Sunday. And then the whole reality of the resurrection alone seems to be of the most import. The resurrection is the fulfillment of our restitution. That is to say, it is how we now are able to be with God, since God and man are one in Christ, but the sin of man first had to be atoned. Foolish Catholics, liberal Catholics, materialist Catholics will always try and draw things quickly to resurrection. Those of you who are a little older like me remember the days when they added the 15th station, the resurrection, as though the resurrection was the point of it all. No, the crucifixion is. Every single sacrament, as I constantly remind you, derives its power solely from Christ's suffering on the cross. Christ had to do atonement for our sins. Christ had to complete that work out of love for his Father, to make reparation, atonement to his Father whom he loved. The second person had to be the one to do it of the Holy Trinity because of that reality, as St. Paul spells out in Colossians. All things were created through him. All things were created before him. He is before all else that is. Therefore, he came to save us at the will of his Father in obedience to the Father. So in that respect, that is why Good Friday is so separate for us as Catholics, so somber, so necessary to be experienced. Easter makes no sense if you did not attend Good Friday. You're mocking the faith if you deliberately missed Good Friday. You're a Protestant. You want to jump to the resurrection as though life has no difficulties. But every real sensible person knows the world is fallen. The devil is its prince. And Christ had to pay the debt that was owed for our sins because of the offense to God the Father. And that reality is why the prince of the world had so much power before our Lord's suffering and death. He paid the price to God the Father, not to Satan as some early heretics suggested, but only to God the Father. And the devil is the supreme legalist. Think of him as the best of all lawyers. And he knows the law through and through. And he knew what he was owed by virtue of the sin of Adam. He never thought it would be possible in his pride that what would happen would happen. That the second person of the Holy Trinity would become man. And would in his nature as man, fully God, fully man, die, suffer and die willingly on the cross, surrendering himself to death of his own power. Easter Sunday makes no sense without Good Friday. Our Lord had to do the atonement. And it makes sense that liberal Catholics and Protestants who believe that in the fallacy of once saved, always saved, which Scripture doesn't support, would always want to jump to Easter Sunday because they don't think sin is really an issue. Too many Catholics, even the powers that be in the Vatican itself, do not think that sin is an issue. Our own bishops hardly think so. We saw that during the COVID farce, when they shut all our churches down. What's the consequence of sin? The sin of Adam? Moral evil, the evil that men do, and natural evil, the evil that occurs because of nature. Even if it has been a virus that has been designed to destroy and it wasn't as effective, because only God can make effective plagues that wipe people out. The devil imitates but cannot emulate perfectly. So it makes sense that so many people, so many annual Catholics come to Easter Sunday, never even giving a second thought to Good Friday. But again, Easter Sunday makes no sense without Good Friday. Oh, people would say, oh, Father, that's so negative, that's so dark. Hardly. Because the atonement and reparation is Good Friday. But now that we are at Easter Sunday, commemorated by this vigil after nightfall, this is the restoration of humanity. Because now, unlike Adam and Eve, even though Adam could walk in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden with God, God was not Adam. God did not share Adam's nature. The second person of the Holy Trinity, not the first person, the Father, but the second person, has taken on our human nature. Which means at the resurrection, we realize the beauty of what the Christ has given us. Oh, happy fault, oh, necessary sin of Adam. Because now God and man are joined in Christ Jesus. And man is, his resurrection is foreshadowed by Christ's own resurrection, which means, unlike most Catholics who are detached from their spiritual lives, who are so afraid of being buried that they get themselves cremated, as though they're going to experience life in the ground. That was always a pagan thing to do, by the way. The indult has never been expired, it should be, except maybe for places like Japan where there's not much land left, but they'll be dead in 100 years because of contraception, so that really doesn't matter, does it? But the reality that they're thinking that death is final, that's why they're afraid to be in the ground, not realizing that it is a sure sign of faith that we allow our bodies to be buried fully in the ground because we firmly believe, as we say in the creed, as you will make a renewal of your baptismal vows this night, which means you're going to commit to living them out, by the way, and not simply reciting them for the sake of habit. It means that we believe in the resurrection from the dead. Why? Because Christ did it. Christ did it. As I point out every year in the pastor's oath in the bulletin, which I keep the same year after year for a reason, because most Catholics don't understand that it's the Protestants who criticize us for calling it Easter. That's only the English language that calls it Easter. Everybody else calls it in the equivalent of the original Hebrew. But the reality that the beauty of this resurrection is so different from Lazarus is because Lazarus was resurrected by Christ. When Christ, who is fully God and fully man, and there is no detachment of his godhood from his humanity, what happened today, for example, during the quiet of the day, when our Lord's soul went to the place of the dead, and as St. Peter spells out in his epistle, preached the good news to those who were there, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all of the righteous and just who could not enter the kingdom of heaven because of the sin of Adam. He preached that it was about to happen, that he had paid the price for Adam's sin and for all the sins that would follow. And of course, only those that are repentant of sin, not the modern mindset of the Vatican or the Germans or even most Catholic bishops, that sin really doesn't matter. One must repent of sin. One must be contrite. One must confess. And so they are preached the good news, as St. Peter spells out. And then Christ, his divinity attached to his soul, his divinity is also attached to his body, his dead body. Christ's body knows no decay in the tomb because it cannot be separated from his divinity. So it is the divinity of Christ that joins the soul back to the body. Remember, death by definition is the separation of the animating principle of the body, the soul, from the body. A body without a soul is a corpse. The divinity of Christ was attached to both. Therefore, of his own power, he resurrects himself. And that is why it is proper when you hear St. Paul say, God raised him from the dead, or Jesus raised himself from the dead. There's no distinction because Jesus is God. So God indeed raised Jesus. He did indeed raise Jesus from the dead, but Jesus is God and he raised himself from the dead. There's no separation of the two. Therefore, our only hope is the reality of his resurrection. What we get from his suffering and death, the whole sacramental system and the graces, that's what prepares us. That's what prepares us for eternal life. As I instructed the faithful who went to my Sunday classes for the Lenten Sundays, the prime mistake most people make, especially Catholics who embrace Protestantism, is their belief that you become holy after you get into heaven. The sacramental system is established because the only way you get into heaven is if you are holy. Holiness does not come as a gift when you get to heaven. Holiness is a gift that you receive and put into practice with your will in this life. Every single day, and when we fall flat on our faces, as we often do, the sacrament of penance is there to restore us. Why? Because Christ died on the cross and made reparation and atonement for our sins. But through the grace of baptism, we entered into the resurrection of our Lord with the power coming from the suffering and death of our Lord. Which is why the church has always taught that baptism is when someone enters the tomb with Christ and comes out resurrected. A new life, as St. Paul spells out in his epistles, a new being. A being that lives in grace, the supernatural help that you and I do not merit, that God gives to us through his dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But none of this makes sense if we don't appreciate the awful price that Christ had to pay, which is there to demonstrate to us the awful, awful horror of sin. That's why Protestants take Christ off the cross and criticize us for having his corpus on our crucifixes, because they don't believe they're responsible for their sins. They believe in the notions of irresistible grace. Man has no free will. We are all piles of dung covered in snow as we sneak into heaven under Christ's snow like God is an idiot. That's what the Protestants, the root of all Protestant belief, non-scriptural, and totally erroneous. So many Catholics live that kind of life, that sin doesn't matter, that God is not offended, that they don't need to be holy. Again, as I underscore, just look how most Catholics live the great mysterious sacrament of holy matrimony. Some do not even try to be holy in married life. They live marriage just like it was another earthly institution that's there for lone personal happiness, and if not, then those are the people that you can take it out on when you have a bad day. The place where you practice holiness first is in the sacrament of holy matrimony, because that's where you become holy, dying to yourself through the graces of the sacrament, and then your children learn what holiness is because they see it in you as their parents. So most Catholics do not believe, unfortunately, in the necessity of your will cooperating with grace, even though it's a fundamental principle. Let Easter Sunday be a reminder to us of this great reality, that by our baptisms we have been reborn in Christ Jesus. And we do as St. Paul says, I live no longer for myself, but for Christ. That's supposed to be the Catholic life. That's what every vocation, and yes, even the sacrament of holy matrimony, is based on living for Christ, not for yourself. We have hope in the reality of our Lord's suffering and death, which gives us access to grace and makes sins pardonable if we're truly contrite. But also in the reality of his resurrection, which reminds us of the life that we're supposed to be living and the life we can live, the life that was lived most perfectly by Mary most holy as the Immaculate Conception. We have access to the very same graces, certainly not to the degree and the extent that our Lord gave Our Lady. But He gives us all the graces sufficient for us. Remember St. Paul when he had the thorn in his side? He prayed three times for our Lord to remove it. Our Lord said to him three times, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." And he also said power is made perfect through weakness, which means that we must acknowledge our weakness and pray for the help. The sacraments give us the graces, the help, but not irresistibly. We have to want them, we have to seek them, we have to employ them. Let us indeed then live for Christ, the resurrected Christ. Let us live for the one who has called us to live no longer for ourselves, but for Him. Take very, very seriously and live them from this day on most ardently the baptismal promises that you are going to renew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.